Will you pray with me? Lord, as we come before you this morning, we recognize that you are in this place with us. You never leave us, you never forsake us, and you guide us in all the places we go. And so now we ask you to guide us as we hear your holy word. Open our eyes to see the things that you are doing. Open our ears and soften our hearts that we might know your will for our lives. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Our scriptures today come from two passages, one from Isaiah 56, verses 1, 6 through 8, and then also Psalm 67. Hear now the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, maintain justice and do what is right, for soon my salvation will come and my deliverance be revealed. And the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord and to be his servants, all who keep the Sabbath and do not profane it and hold fast my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. Thus says the Lord God, who gathers the outcasts of Israel, I will gather others to them besides those already gathered. And now Psalm 67. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us, Selah, that your way may be known upon the earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. Selah. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, has blessed us. May God continue to bless us. Let all the ends of the earth revere him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. It's been a very exciting summer here at the church. There's been a lot of different things happening for different demographics, different groups. Just in the last 2 weeks alone, we've seen some pretty exciting things. We heard a lot about VBS, and I have to admit, some of you already know, I was not here for VBS. The chaos of 115 kids and students were up here in the chancel. I was struggling somewhere else. I was in the sands of Michigan fighting for my life against middle schoolers on my left and my right, some of them in the second pew. But don't worry, they didn't keep me up too late. But some of you have heard about Surf City. Surf City is this middle school camp that we've been going to for years. This was the first summer that we returned to Surf City. It's an exciting camp. I wish I could have gone there as a kid. But they do all kinds of things. It's tubing and it's jet skiing, and it's capture the flag, and you're climbing these 100-foot tall sand dunes at Lake Michigan, and then there's just worship and music and Bible study. It's just all day long, 7 a.m., 11 p.m. You know it's bad when the boys in the cabin are like, are we going to bed soon? Like, what's going on? I'm like, yes, please. But it's an exciting tradition, it's an exciting time, and some of you hear that, and you go, what on God's green earth would possess you to choose to go to a camp that's supposed to be 8 hours away, but it's 12 hours on the bus when it's our situation? And what would possess you to stay up all night with middle schoolers? And what would possess you to go to those places? And I can just say, and you have to trust me, I love it. And when you see people like Hannah leave the sanctuary with our kids every week, you go, how do you do that every week? I have my own kids, but to take other people's kids, and she'd say, she loves it. Because there's something about getting young people together and having them united in this pursuit of God that is just so energizing, and you crash after, for sure. But in the moment, it is the most exciting thing you can imagine. And I just want to share this brief story about Surf City this year. Tubing is like the go-to thing. We had perfect weather, no rain until we got home. That's another story for another day. But we tubed every day. And Surf City, not only is water tubing the tradition, but it's also known, little known fact, that the driver of the boat gets a sick pleasure of trying to see you fall off the tube. And so you've got three signals. I did two. You get three signals. You get faster, slower, I'm in the water now. Those are your three signals. And so you get on the tubes and you do your best. And now I know the guy that drives the boat. He's known me for years. He really wants to see me fall off this tube. And so I kind of felt bad. There's always two tubes going at once. And whoever went with me, they were victims caught in the crossfire of this tubing adventure. And we took these kids, and I didn't know some of these kids before we went to camp. They were friends of friends. And so these two kids are on the other tube, and we're going, and instantly he's trying to knock these kids off the tube, trying to knock me off the tube. I did not fall, I will say, until later. But I'm looking over, and I just see this kid just like, just smacking into this tube, but she's not letting go. She's holding on so tight. I'm so proud. And then just one bump goes sucked away into the water. You go, oh, we lost another one. But the other, her partner was still on there and she was holding on, but because there wasn't the weight of two people on the tube, she was no longer on the tube. She was holding the handles but looked like Superman off the tube, just kind of like flying around the water. And as a result, she eventually fell off. I thought she was going to fly off, but she made it safe. And Surf City is a really safe camp. I want you all to know that. Right, boys? We didn't talk about this beforehand. But it's one of those moments where you watch it happen, and you just can't unsee it. I'll remember this till the day I die. But it's one of those silly, uniting experiences that just connects people instantly. Some of these kids I didn't know, and all of you, I'm sure, are scared on some level of teenagers. You should be. But then you have a shared experience with them, and you realize they're teenagers. And then you just have a great time. And for the first day and a half, it's like, man, no one's laughing at my jokes. These kids don't like, how am I going to get these kids, you know, open up, icebreakers? But you share an experience like surviving the water tubing at Surf City. And after that, you're closer than you could ever be. You've got this moment together that you'll never be able to lose. And it just opens up the ability to connect with someone. And sometimes the simplest, silliest things connect us to our dearest friends. In ministry, we see this all the time because in life, we see it all the time. Think of the people you've known and been closest with in your life. Sometimes they just happen to be in your first grade class with you, and now 30 years later, they're your best friend. Sometimes it was your freshman year dorm mate, and now you're stuck with them. Sometimes it's a person in your neighborhood. Sometimes it's a person you met tubing at camp. It doesn't matter. These ways that we connect with one another are so much simpler than we make them. And you're going, how is this going to connect? We'll see if I can connect this 12 minutes from now. In our text today, and our text all summer, we've been looking at the prophets. And we've been talking about how the prophets were speaking to the people of Israel and reminding them that it doesn't matter where you are, it doesn't matter where you're going, it doesn't matter what you've been through, God is with you and God is still speaking. Even in the silence, even in the suffering, even in the confusion, even when you're in a place you've never been before, God is with you and still speaking. And our text today from Isaiah 56 is actually the tail end of this thing that we've talked about a few times called exile. The Israelites have returned to their land. They've begun to rebuild all that fell apart. They're rebuilding the temple. They're trying to get back into their rhythms. They're trying to figure things out again. We know what it's like to get taken out of rhythms and try to get back into rhythms. And in this text, the prophetic message from Isaiah is God is not done. God is still working. And he begins by saying, we've got these commands given to us to maintain justice and to do what is right and to love the Lord with all our being. But then at the tail end of this passage, Isaiah says something new. He says that this is not just good news for Israel, this is good news for everybody. And he uses these terms, the outcast and the foreigner, and he says these are also being gathered together with the people of God. He uses this phrase, he says, God, our God, who gathers more people to the people that have already been gathered. He gathers the outsiders, the outcasts, the strangers, the foreigners, and he gathers them into this group that's already established. And this is good news. And this idea of gathering together is the crux of what our faith is about. This idea of gathering together is what we've been called to do. From the beginning of creation, we were made as image bearers, and God said it's not good for humankind to be alone. And the first community began. When we call ourselves the church, it's the body of Christ. It is a group of believers gathered together. And the message of Isaiah, the message of this prophet to the people of Israel all those years ago, is the same message that comes in the New Testament, and the same message that we get today, is that God is still gathering people together. Now, in the New Testament, Paul writes about this, and he writes as clearly as I can imagine to the church of Ephesus. And I was trying my best. I mean, I was very tempted to just read the entire first chapter of Ephesians, but I didn't want to stress you all out with too much Bible reading in a sermon. Who would think, as Presbyterians, right? But I did want to read this portion of Ephesians 1 because it's so powerful. Hear these words that were written to a church like ours. Paul writes in Ephesians 1, God destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he bestowed on us in the beloved. In Jesus we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins because of his rich grace that he lavished on us. Hear this. With all wisdom and insight, he's made the mystery of his will known to us, according to his good pleasure set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time to gather up all things in him, things in heaven and things on the earth. In Christ, we've obtained an inheritance. We were destined according to the purpose of he who accomplishes all things according to God's counsel and will, so that we who were the first to set our hope in Christ might live for the praise and glory. God has revealed the mystery of his will to us as his people to gather up everything. Not just people, everything. Creation, every day we read about creation in the beginning of the summer, it was made good. It was made good. And when all of creation was done, it was very good. Everything that is made, all things are gathered up in Christ. That's the continuation of this prophetic message from Isaiah, that God is not done gathering things up. You look around in the world that we see, there are things that still need to be gathered up, people that need to be gathered up and brought into this kingdom. And Paul's not done. He goes on, and I want you to imagine these words he says next, this next sentence that he's saying at the Swickley Presbyterian Church. Hear these words from the apostle. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, and for that reason I don't cease to give thanks for you, as I remember you in my prayers, prayers that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may perceive the hope to which he's called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe according to the working of his great power. Paul said, listen, Ephesians, I've heard of the way that you live your lives. I've heard of the way you love other people, and it just makes me so excited that I can't stop giving thanks for you. You are living out your calling so well. I just continue to pray for you. I continue to pray that you will see God's will unfold in your life and that God gives you wisdom to perceive the hope that we cling to as believers. These are the words of the apostle talking about what it means to be gathered up as the people of God. Paul's words to the Ephesians echo the words from Isaiah to the people of Israel. They're a reminder that what we need to do as the people of God in this kingdom work is gather up together. And the question we have to ask ourselves is, do our actions individually, as families, as a community, as a church, do our actions help or hinder God gathering up all these other things and people? We already saw the blueprint. The language in Isaiah is that God is going to gather up those that are left outside to join those that are already gathered. We've heard the words of Paul that we've been called to gather up all things in Christ, all peoples in Christ. Do our actions, our lifestyles, our words, our passions, our talents, our gifts, Do they aid in that? Or do they seem to hinder that? Our psalm this morning, it's a what we call a benediction. We end every church service together with a benediction. It's a word of blessing. It's a sending off, this idea that these words hang over you as you leave this place. And the psalmist wrote this morning that we ask that God makes his face to shine upon us, that his way may be known upon the earth, that his saving power be known to all nations. This message is for all people. The good news that Isaiah brought to the people is that you thought this was about Israel. It's not about Israel. God is bigger and loves bigger than you could have ever imagined. This good news is supposed to be shared with every single person on planet Earth. It's supposed to be shared with every single thing because God created these things and is redeeming these things. And the psalmist writes that our prayer should be that God makes his face shine upon us so that through us, people see that light. The question is, do we shine that light in a way that helps gather people together, or do we keep it for ourselves? The calling is clear. This message from Isaiah, this message from the psalmist is that this is not just for insiders. This is not just for people that have their names in Swickley Presbyterian church rolls. This is not just for people that call themselves Christians. This is for outcasts. This is for foreigners. This is for outsiders, the people that have been forgotten. We see in Jesus's ministry in the New Testament, he spent most of his time with people that were forgotten by society, people that were overlooked, people that were viewed as lesser than, people that were viewed as sinners that were a lost cause. He spent very little time with the people in the temple. He spent very little time with the people that claimed religious superiority. Our call is to expand this gathering, to call other people into this body of believers, to share the good news that was good news to us so that it's good news to all. And if it's only good news to us, then we haven't done our jobs as followers of God. Because Paul's language rings true. The call is to gather up all things in Christ. That's the mystery of God's will revealed. And it takes on all kinds of bizarre shapes and sizes as it happens. It's going to look different for every one of us as we lean into the calling on our lives from God. Your call is going to look a little bit different from my call and a little bit different from your neighbor's call. But all of us have been united in our call to gather things up in Christ. Hear these words again from Isaiah. Thus says the Lord God, who gathers the outcast of Israel, I will gather others to them besides those already gathered. Look around you in these pews. There are people that are here in worship. We celebrate that. If you're at home, look at your family members or your friends or imagine the people you know from our church. There are going to be other people gathered to this body. Are we prepared for that? Are we a church that is looking forward to that? Are we a church that's helping to make that happen? Do we look for the people that need to be gathered in this spirit of Christ? Are we looking for opportunities to gather others in the same good news that has brought us here week after week, month after month, some of you for decades and decades? What still brings you here but the love of God? We've been called to share that, to gather up all that we can. The question we have to ask is, are we prepared for that? When we think about the outcast and the outsider and the foreigner and the stranger, the reality is these people are only strangers and outsiders and outcasts because we allow them to be. One small interaction can take someone from outside to inside, from stranger to friend, from outcast to beloved. When we think about the ways that our own lives have played themselves out in the life of the church, we can also see clearly that there were times when maybe we didn't feel like we were a part of this body. That's why it's so important that we as believers choose to include and to gather up those outside. It's the heart of Christ, and so it should be the heart of ours in this kingdom work. You're 1 week away from serving at VBS to impact a kid's life forever. You are one crazy tubing ride away from having a memory shared with some kids that you'll never be able to forget. You are one conversation over coffee away from building a friendship and sharing a story. You're one smile, one conversation, one door being held open. You are one positive interaction. You are one speck of curiosity for the people you don't know outside of this church, or maybe even amongst these pews. You are one moment and activity away from expanding this shared good news, from expanding the call to gather up those that have not been gathered yet. One simple moment. But it requires us as the people of God to choose to engage in those moments, to choose to go out and be a part of what God is doing in the world around us, to be a part of what God is doing within this church, children's ministry, youth ministry, women's retreats, day on the lawn. There's so many opportunities just to serve here, but there are strangers outside of these walls that need good news. And not just positivity, not just a high five or a pat on the back. They need the good news of the gospel that when things seem most hopeless, when things seem to be going most awry, when you feel like you're in exile and your life has been scattered into pieces, that God is still with you, God is still guiding you, God is still calling you, and God is still for you. This is the hope that Paul writes about. It's the hope that the Israelites were clinging to in the midst of their darkest moments. And it's the joyous promise of what being gathered up together is in Jesus Christ. It's what Isaiah wrote about. It's what Paul writes about. It's what we're talking about this morning. It's why we sing songs. It's why we pray prayers. It's why we come together week after week in person and online, because we have to get together. We know being gathered up is part of what this whole thing's about. And the goal should be to gather up as many human beings as physically possible so that we can share this good news and continue to impact. Think about the reason you're here. Maybe not this morning. If you knew I was preaching, maybe you're like, I wouldn't have been here. But think about why you're here. What brought you to this church? Or better yet, what brought you to the church of Jesus Christ? What led you to faith? What person in your life was so present, so loving, so caring that you went, I need to be a part of it? When you were at your lowest moment and that person was in your life supporting you and you went, this is the love of Jesus Christ. Think of that person. Be that person to every person you encounter. Be the person that got you to church the first time. Be the person that supported you when you needed it most. Be the person that loves without conditions and terms that need to be agreed upon. Be the person that loves like Jesus Christ, because we have been called to share this good news, to gather up as many people as we can in the gospel, because we were created for community and unified love in the Spirit. Not to be divided, not to fight over what should be done and when it should be done, but to gloriously and humbly seek God out in community together. And it requires us to be brave enough to start speaking to strangers and start speaking to our enemies and start speaking to the people you never thought would be a part of this thing and just say, here's what God's been doing in my life. I've talked to a lot of you and I've heard some powerful stories about how God's love has just changed everything for you. God has given you a peace. God has given you a mission, a vision. That's beautiful. It's why we come together and we share it together. We need to share those stories and empower and encourage each other. But share those things with other people too. You feel safe sharing it here. You should feel even better sharing it out beyond these walls, because the people that aren't part of this family, they need that good news. You look at every piece of media and you can see there is tragedy in the world. There is a longing to be at peace. There's a longing to be in the presence of God, even if people don't use that language. Our calling as the people that have already been gathered together is to prepare for others, for outcasts, for foreigners, for strangers, to be gathered to us as well. And we don't let that happen passively. We go from this place and we be the people God's called us to be. We be the light, because the words of Isaiah, thus says the Lord God who gathers the outcasts, I will gather others to them besides those already gathered. The calling is clear. With all of these things happening in the world around us, with all of the ways that we need God's presence in our lives, so does every other single person that you encounter. Every stranger that you see today is made in the image of God. Every person that annoys you today, also made in the image of God. Every time that you have fallen short and missed the mark, You're still an image bearer. You're still someone that bears this calling, and God's love is big and expansive and goes beyond our brain's capacity to process, because God has called us as his children, called us to this kingdom work to gather up all of these, to gather up outcasts and foreigners and strangers and bring them into this community of believers. So as we go from this place this morning, remember the promise, the celebration of Isaiah, that God will gather others to us besides those already gathered. Amen. As a friendly reminder, there's a good chance you're going to need to grab your hymnals for this next song, and I believe our hymn will be 756.